Welcome, everyone. Thanks for coming. So my name's Chris O'Brien. I'm a SharePoint MVP from London in the UK. So I have a funny accent, but maybe by the end of the hour you'll be a little bit more used to it. So this is a deep dive into the SharePoint ribbon. So hands up if you would class yourself as a SharePoint dev. Okay, that's probably most. Okay, cool. And we're going to look at quite a lot of code and quite a lot of XML. Now, my goal isn't that you understand every last piece, but rather you broadly understand where things need to go for most of the things that you might be asked to do with the ribbon. So a little bit about me. I'm an independent SharePoint guy. I have a blog at sharepointnutsandbolts.com. I've been a SharePoint MVP for the last few years. Twitter is ChrisO_Brian. So replace the apostrophe in my name with an underscore. I've contributed to the MVP book and so on. So we'll take a look at what the ribbon architecture is. So we'll think about its component pieces, because you really need to understand those pieces to develop for it. And then we'll think about customizing it. So how do I put a button in the ribbon? What if my client is asking me to put an entire tab in there, or a group within an existing tab? And we'll look at some scenarios like that. If I've managed to get my button in there, how do I make it do something, right? So I need some code to run. What does that code look like? And we've got two options for writing code behind a ribbon button. And we'll talk about which one is good in which situation. What happens if we're developing for the sandbox? Do we need to do anything differently? And the answer is yes, there are a couple of considerations, so we'll talk about those. And then towards the end, we'll talk about some advanced ribbon controls and funky things that you can drop in there, and we'll talk about some tips and tricks. So the first thing to note about the ribbon is it's really powered by XML and JavaScript. It's quite a client-side thing. And what we have is XML that defines what controls are in the ribbon, what tabs we've got, and so on. And then we have JavaScript for the code behind the commands. So these two meet up because in each piece of XML for a control, we have to specify a command name, and then somewhere else we've got some JavaScript that's listening for that command name. So the first thing you might think if you've never done some ribbon development is, why is it like this? Why do I have this weird model? Can I not put a .NET user control or a .NET server control in the ribbon? And the answer is no, you can't. And it can be quite frustrating at first that you can't use all the traditional development techniques that you're used to. And I don't really know for sure the reason why Microsoft decided to architect it this way, but I have a theory. So I speculate that the reason Microsoft don't want you to put a server control or some kind of C# code or .NET code into the ribbon is performance. So if you could write some server-side code that happened to be slow, and you wrap that ribbon customization up into a feature that is farm-scoped, you could instantly kill performance for your entire SharePoint farm in one stroke. And I think that Microsoft don't want you to do that. So if you did it in your company, that would be a bad thing for your company. If a few people did it around the SharePoint world, then I think that that could be potentially bad for SharePoint, and the likes of Gartner and Forrester and all the analysts would say, oh, SharePoint's a bad product. So I think it's like the shoot yourself in the foot and blow your whole leg off thing, and that's the reason why I think we have this architecture in the ribbon. So what you can see in the ribbon is that actually Microsoft follow this model for their implementation, and what that means is that the entire ribbon and how it's defined is actually present on your file system of a SharePoint server, and you can go in there and look at Microsoft's XML. And it's the best code sample that you can find if you're starting to do ribbon work. It lives in the 14 folder, so the SharePoint root, at template global XML command UI.xml. And that's got most of the ribbon definition in it. Now, the key thing about that file is you may look at it quite a lot, but don't touch it. It's an out-of-the-box file. It's completely out of bounds to touch it. You know, Microsoft could update it with a service pack, a CU, and so on. So it's very much a case of look, but don't touch. So if we break down the ribbon into its component pieces, and remember, we only have one ribbon in SharePoint. People think that actually there's multiple because it looks different, but it's really just one ribbon. What we have is a series of tabs across the top. So we have browse, page, and then we get to something called the contextual tab group. And by contextual, we mean that it's not always there. It's only present under certain circumstances. Within each particular tab, so we've got some groups, and right there we've got edit, clipboard, font, and paragraph. And within each of those groups, we've got a set of controls. And they're laid out differently. We've got different formats and different size controls and so on. But we very much have this hierarchy of tab, group, controls. Now, the contextual tab group, if you're sort of not really familiar with how the ribbon works, the idea behind this model, and it carried over from Office, of course, is that we don't go changing what's visible on a certain tab. We can disable it, but we shouldn't really take away. It is possible, but my recommendation would be to avoid it. And really, we should be using the contextual approach to show extra controls when they're relevant, because this avoids the whole problem of users thinking, I'm sure there was a button here yesterday. You know, and it just keeps consistency. Now, the ribbon has quite a few locations. So if you're being asked to target or build a certain ribbon customization, step one could be to work out exactly where it needs to go into the ribbon. And we can find in CommandUI.xml quite a lot of locations that correspond to different areas in SharePoint. So you could potentially logically imagine where some of these areas correspond to. So for example, ribbon.listform.display, that's the display form for looking at something in SharePoint. And similarly, ribbon.listform.edit, that's the edit form for a list item. We've got ribbon.wikipage tab, so if you're working in a wiki page and you want to put some controls there, that's the location you'd need. Okay, so let's go straight into the VM and we'll think about some of these fundamental scenarios of adding things to SharePoint. Okay, so the first thing I want to show you, actually, now we're in the VM, is we'll take a look at CommandUI.xml briefly. So I've opened it up. You can see that Microsoft have a ribbon element here with lots of attributes. And the key thing to think about with this file is it's huge. Okay, so we have 8,500 lines of XML in this file. And that's kind of good, because most of the customizations you might need to do, they're probably in here somewhere. So it's a great code sample. And what we can see is that this XML that Microsoft have written is very much like the kind of thing that you might need to write. So somewhere in here, we have a tabs element, and it has some tab child elements. And here, for example, is ribbon.listform.display, and that very much is the definition for the ribbon in that part of SharePoint. Underneath that, we have some scaling and max size and scale elements. And this is a really interesting feature of the ribbon. It's, you know, a lot of that XML doesn't make immediate sense. And it corresponds to a capability of the ribbon that not many people know exists. So I did a completely scientific piece of research where I asked lots of people that work with SharePoint if they'd ever seen this before. And hardly anybody said yes. So what I'm going to do is just go to the library tab within that contextual tab group, and you'll recognize these controls across the top. Now watch when I make the window smaller. Now, what SharePoint has done is kind of compressed lots of those areas of the ribbon, and now if I click on one of them, I get this flyout div that will show me those controls. So SharePoint has been quite clever, and it's constrained down the amount of screen real estate that it's using, but it's come up with a way so that all these controls are still usable. And you might have seen it before, but certainly all the people that I asked, hardly anybody had seen that before, and it's a really clever piece of the ribbon architecture. Okay, so let's think about some customizations. So in here, I have a custom tab, and what we've got is three groups. I've got a button in each. And these just do sort of easy things like use the notification feature in SharePoint. These buttons use the status bar, so I can add a status message here. You might have noticed these buttons here lit up then, so I can remove this. And it's just JavaScript, right? You know, these things have a JavaScript API in SharePoint. I can add a couple there. And all the time, there's no postbacks, no page reload. It's all client-side. So what do we need to do if somebody ever asks us to build a custom tab? So we need some XML. And what we have first is actually a feature. So that's the way that we deliver these customizations to SharePoint. So in my feature, it's scoped at site collection right now. And I have three elements. I have one for a new tab, one for a new group in an existing tab, and one for a new button in an existing group. So this is the one we're looking at first. And this is the XML to produce a new tab in SharePoint. So it starts with a custom action element. And you might be familiar with this element if you've done some customization of SharePoint UI before. The location that we specify is always commanduI.ribbon. And then we have these attributes that say basically where it should show up. So in this case, I'm saying it should appear on a certain type of list. And I'm using a registration ID of 101, which corresponds to a document library. And I could use a different template type if I wanted. Now, if I didn't want to target in that way, then another alternative is I can target by content type, and I would just supply the content type ID. And if neither of those is kind of the approach that I want to use, then maybe what you need is the contextual approach, which we'll show later. So in this case, I have a tab. It goes into this ribbon.tabs_children. And this underscore children thing is a naming convention in the XML. And it basically means, hey, SharePoint, I want you to merge this XML with some XML that you have in commanduI.xml. And that's how your customization gets surfaced. So there's those scaling elements. I'm not really taking advantage of that capability here. But then I have some groups. And within each group, I basically have a set of controls. So all these pieces of XML, they all have names and sequences and things like that. The sequence is particularly important. If we just look at the sequence on the tab, I have 550. And if I go to the screen, I can basically guarantee that browse is at 500, and this contextual tab group is at 600. So by picking 550, I kind of snuggle in between them. So this is another thing that you'll pick up from commanduI.xml. If you need your customization to go in a particular place, you'll need to find the right bit of commanduI.xml to know what values to use for that stuff. So we have the group, we have the controls, and the controls, they each have a command, so that's my command name, and somewhere else I'll have some JavaScript that's listening for that. And the other thing that we have on each of these is a template alias. And this is another weird thing in the XML that you get used to, is that what you have to do is provide some XML that lays out your group. So in this case, this is the XML that says, in this group, I just have one large button. And what that corresponds to is this button here. If I want to do something else, so in this case, I've got two medium buttons stacked on top of each other, and that corresponds to that, then I have to lay out this XML. So this is almost like providing some XML that's kind of like a HTML table or something, and the controls get dropped into it. And you have to do this. So you're probably starting to realize that ribbon development is very much a case of finding a sample that's similar to what you need to do and going from that. I don't think anybody ever sits down in Visual Studio and just bangs this stuff out. You know, it's just not going to happen. So always try and find some good sample. Everything that you'll see here is obviously downloadable. And this is actually a sample set that I produced along with a friend of mine, Andrew Connell. And we presented this at another conference. And we aim to provide the best set of ribbon samples out there. And I don't know whether we have, but we think it's a good starting point for lots of scenarios. So the final piece in this sample is that we have some JavaScript, and it's in this element here, this command UI handler. And here's my JavaScript right here in the XML file. Now, that's pretty weird. You know, I don't think that an XML file is the best place for JavaScript normally. But this is one way of doing it with the ribbon. I'll show an alternative later. So what we have is this element here. It's got the command name that will be listed in a button somewhere. And then there's the actual JavaScript right here. Okay, now that's almost one of the most complex samples because we have to define the entire tab and what it looks like. If we were being asked to do something more simple, like a new group in an existing tab, so here's a wiki page, and in this case, all I'm doing is putting a group in something that already exists in SharePoint. When you think about the XML for something like this, it's much simpler. So we have the usual custom action stuff. Here's my layout of the controls. And in terms of the real core XML, what we do is we have a group, and then we have the controls, and there's our actual button. And again, I'm just using the XML and the JavaScript. But hopefully what you can see is that I've got way less XML than the sample that defines the entire tab. And the final sample like this is, what if all we need is just to put a button in there somewhere? And that's all we've got to do. So in this case, I put my customization here. So hopefully what you can see is that it's in this dialog here. And that's a good reminder that even these little dialogs in SharePoint, you know, they have a ribbon, and if I click this button, they have a notification bar as well, and you know, they just have the features that larger pages have in SharePoint, so you can target those areas as well. If we needed something that didn't require customization like that, you know, maybe the contextual approach is the thing that we want. So a good candidate is some ribbon customization that's tied to a web part. And that's what we've got in this sample. So we have the contextual tab group. It's just got one tab within it called tools. And this is actually tied to this web part on the page, which is called contextual tab ribbonized web part. And this is a really good case in point of when you need to do the contextual thing, because this web part may or may not be on the page. So I can't put some ribbon customization that's on every document library, but is really tied to my web part, because then I'd be leaving buttons in the ribbon that just aren't relevant for 90% of the time. So in this case, what we do is we showed that basically all the code stuff is client-side JavaScript. In this case, what we do is, just to show it can be done, we trigger a web part, we trigger a postback. So if I hit this button, actually we get a postback, and then you might notice that our web part has some extra text. It now says responding to postback event. And that's really just to show that if you really need a postback, it can be done. And what we do to do that is, we have a contextual tab web part, and in fact, what we'll do first, we'll show you the XML. So this is our XML for the contextual group. We have to nominate a color, and we have a fixed set of colors that we can choose from. We choose green. We have a tab in there. It has the usual stuff. So really what's happening here is we are laying down our XML, but it's not necessarily visible. Okay. So the thing that makes it visible, in contrast to the other samples, is some server-side code that's within our web part. That's how we tie the two up, and we make sure that this stuff only appears if the web part is on the page. So what happens is we have some server-side code behind our web part, and we call into some code in the SharePoint API. So we have an SP ribbon class, we get a reference to that, we register some JavaScript that we need, and then we call make tab available, and then make contextual group initially visible. And that's the thing that actually makes our green thing light up and be present in the ribbon. If we don't do that, it wouldn't show. The final thing is, the way we actually trigger the postback is we call into .NET's __doPostback, and that will trigger a postback from the JavaScript if ever you need to do that. And then we have some server-side code that's listening for that. and then adds that to the web part. Okay, so what we've really considered there is how to get something into the ribbon. And that's great, but we've not really talked in great detail about how you then make it do something. So, in fact, just before we do, let's just wrap up and think about some best practices in that stuff. So we shouldn't remove out-of-the-box controls from the ribbon. That's where we start to get lots of inconsistency. We would normally say that's a bad practice. You can disable things, but try not to take them away and confuse users. In terms of the XML that lays out the group, so that the stuff that your controls is going to drop into, turns out there's a way you can skip some of that and just call into some of Microsoft's groups that they've defined in CommandUI.xml, but don't do it. It's a bad idea because it's not always going to be present for you to slot into. You can use the scaling stuff and provide multiple layouts, and that's a really good user experience if ever your users could be on lower resolutions or in smaller windows. And make sure that you're selective. So with the example of the web part, don't add a customization onto every document library in SharePoint if it's only tied to your web part. And the final point, almost a duplication of the first, but I see lots of blog posts on the internet that talk about using jQuery to modify the ribbon or some other client-side stuff. But really, I think it's not a good idea. We should try and avoid that kind of thing. It's a good idea to just try and keep SharePoint as consistent as it can be. Okay, so let's think about commands. So I have my thing, whatever it is, in the ribbon, whether it's a tab, it's a group, or some button somewhere. How do I make it do something? So we then have to think about how the command framework works in the ribbon. And the way it works is a command has a name, and it has something that specifies what should happen when it runs, and this is kind of the execute code. And it also has a pointer to something that really defines whether it can execute or not. And this will really correspond to whether your button is disabled or whether it's enabled. And really, what we have is this idea where we've got a name and we've got some JavaScript code somewhere else that's listening for that name. And this is very much like, you know, the example of paste in Microsoft Word. So if you think about that, I can right-click in a document and use the context menu and click paste. I can do Control V, or I can use the ribbon and paste something on my clipboard into the document that way. And do you think Microsoft wrote that code three times? Well, no, of course not. They've just got three references to one centralized piece of code. And that's really what the command framework in the ribbon gives you. So we've got two ways of doing commands in the ribbon. The first one is called Command UI Handler. That's the one you've seen already. That's where we've got JavaScript in XML. And what we have there is two attributes on that that correspond to this idea of execute and can execute. And that's what it looks like. So we give the command a name. The command action is the thing that maps to what the command should do when it executes. And we have something called enable script. And that maps to the can execute idea. So that's the JavaScript that I would need if I want to go off and check something before deciding whether my ribbon button should be enabled or not. So that's the JavaScript in XML way. But we also have an approach called the page component. And this is more complex, but generally better for certainly non-trivial implementations. In this case, everything is in a separate JavaScript file. We don't have any XML definition apart from the name that will be in there somewhere. And we have a different set of kind of command attributes that we need to specify, but they basically map to that execute and can execute idea. Here they're called can handle command and handle command. And this is what it looks like. It's object-oriented JavaScript. We'll take a look at a full page component. And it's quite intimidating the first time you see one. But again, it's this idea of finding a good sample, having a template to go from, whether it's the last one that you did. The first time you do one of these, that's the most difficult time, and I think it gets easier after that. Fundamentally, we've got some code that is the can handle command, and maybe all I need to do is check the command ID, and if it's my command, then yes, and then my button will be lit up. And the handle command is where I would put my actual implementation code. what should happen when my button gets clicked or my drop-down gets pulled down or whatever. And again, I should check the command ID that gets passed in there. So if you think about those two methods, so the command handler way, yep, it's really easy. It's quite easy to manage, and it's good for simple stuff. It's not very good if you've got lots of JavaScript. You know, having a big wadge of JavaScript in an XML file would not be a good place to be. But it's also not cached on the client. So if you think about how Internet Explorer or any browser behaves, if you have an image or a CSS file or a JavaScript file, that will be cached by the end client. And it will go into temporary internet files, and it'll be really quick to pull that up later on. But if your JavaScript is in the XML, that isn't happening, so you don't quite get the same performance. And it's not as reusable. You can't call into it from different places. In terms of the page component approach, so it's external JavaScript, it's easier to manage and debug. You can minify it, you know, so if performance is important for you, then you can minify that JavaScript file, reduce the size of it, and that will download to the client quicker. Obviously, you can't do that with the XML. And there's some situations where it gives you more control. You can actually do things like block the loss of focus to your control, and that's something that you can't do otherwise. The downsides, well, you know, JavaScript dev tools are getting better, especially you've probably seen it in Visual Studio 2012 this week. For the most part, SharePoint developers will still be on Visual Studio 2010, and you know, it's still not a great experience if you're writing lots of JavaScript. There's a couple of extra things you have to worry about, like adding the JavaScript to the page. You know, how do you do that? Is that via a delegate control to additional page head, or are you able to modify the master page? You know, you might not have that as an option, and there's other ways that you can do it as well. But it's all object-oriented JavaScript, and you know, you have to be okay with that. There's one other thing to think about here, which is this idea of global and focus commands in the ribbon. And the way to summarize this is, if we think about the web part example, if the user can put two of your web parts onto the page, and you've put some button in the ribbon that does something, which one of your web parts should do something when they press the button? And the ribbon caters for this. And what it does is it has this idea of global commands, and this is where you don't need to worry because there's only one instance possible. If it is something like a web part, then you need to implement focus commands. And here, there is a relationship between the code that's running and one of your web part instances. And how SharePoint derives that association is it's whichever one has focus. So if it was, for example, a content editor web part, you know, an out-of-the-box one, that's a good example here. That has some ribbon controls, and I could add two of those to a page. But if I'm typing in one of them, that one has focus. So that's how it knows where to do paste or whatever it is. Okay, so let's take a look at some command stuff. So if you think about demos so far, we've managed to put something in the ribbon, but how do we make it do something? So if we look at the sample first. So we've got a document library here, and we've got two samples that help you understand commands. This stuff gets quite deep. Oh, sorry, I've not switched, have I? That would help. Okay, so we've got a document library, and the command stuff gets quite deep. So this is where I'm not expecting you to take everything in. I'm not going to try and explain every last detail, but just remember that it's there in the code sample if ever you need to do this stuff. So we have two samples, and the first one is really trying to illustrate something about how commands work. And when I switch to the tab, what you're going to see is something start to fire, and then it's going to wait for about 5 seconds, and then something else is going to happen. And what we're trying to illustrate here is that this is async programming. You know, when you have some code behind the ribbon, let's say you need to go off to SharePoint and you need to check something in a list. The way you're writing this is with some client object model code or some other way that you're getting data from JavaScript, and you'll issue that call, and you don't know when it's going to come back. You know, usually it's going to be less than a second or less than half a second, But ultimately, it's fire and then receive. And if I come here, so now you see this checking async with server if the help button should be enabled. And then received the async, and now a button lit up in the ribbon. And that's very much how the ribbon works. We've slowed it down just to illustrate it. If I just go through that process again. So we're doing the check, and my cursor is where the button is. And now it's received, and now my ribbon button is lit up. So that's very much the programming model behind the ribbon. It's very much asynchronous, and you know, things aren't going to be all lit up and processed by the time the page has finished loading. If we need to go and check some data, then that's a separate process, and it will return very shortly afterwards. Now, the other sample that we have is around what if we want some ribbon customization that talks to SharePoint in some way? And what we have is two buttons here that aren't currently lit up. And it's the same sample implemented in the two different command flavors. So we've got the same thing implemented with the command UI handler, so the JavaScript in the XML, and also in a page component, so the pure JavaScript approach. So this is a good sample to download so you can understand the differences. It's the same thing implemented both ways. And what this sample does is I can click a couple of these documents and I'll hit this button. You see they've now lit up. So that's a good example, by the way, of the can execute. So these have only lit up now I've checked some buttons in the SharePoint list. And what we do is we hit a button and we pop up a dialog, very common pattern for using the SharePoint ribbon. We've carried over the documents that were checked. And now what I can do is if I want to type in some text, what we're going to do is actually rename those files in SharePoint, and we're going to put this prefix at the beginning of the file name. And I just need to do a refresh. And there's my files that now have TechEd at the beginning. So this is kind of a fairly common pattern, this idea of springing up a dialog box from the ribbon and then making it do something. And we have a reasonable amount of code behind this, I guess, but it's all here for you to take a look at. So we'll just take a quick look at some aspects of it. So this is a page component, first of all. And this is the first time that we've really seen a full one. We saw the snippet on the slide. But this is very much what a page component looks like. And if you have to do one of these, your file will look very similar. And again, nobody's going to sit down in Visual Studio and tap this stuff out. You should copy one off MSDN or copy ours here or some other one. But this is the format of JavaScript that the ribbon is expecting. So what we do is we have some JavaScript which initializes things at the top. We are declaring some arrays in this case. So this perhaps isn't the simplest sample, but we have several page components in our code samples. What we have here is get focused commands. So this is where if I need to implement things because I've got two instances possible on a page, then I need to put some code in here. In this case, we're not worrying about that, so we're just returning an empty array. Further down, we have get global commands, and this one is doing something. This is returning a list of commands. It's actually abstracted away into a JavaScript array, but this is returning a list of commands that can be handled by this page component. And then we have two functions here. We have handle command. So again, it's slightly abstracted, so the implementation isn't in this method. But ultimately, this is where I'd put my JavaScript behind those buttons. And it's abstracted away, but you can just put your JavaScript right here, and that's the stuff that will fire when the user presses that button. And finally, we have canHandle command, which is the thing that determines whether your button should light up. So again, it's slightly abstracted in this example, but you can just drop your code for that in here. Now, the other thing I wanted to show you about commands was around how we actually do that rename. So that's kind of a good illustrative case of talking to SharePoint data. And we're in a different file now. And the reason for this is actually it's our dialog page that's doing this work. So it's almost not our ribbon button. All our ribbon button did was open the dialog. And you might need to implement something similar using this pattern. So our JavaScript is actually referenced by our dialog page, which is why I've just moved to a different file. And ultimately, I've done a client object model query somewhere. I've got a result set here. And my code that actually does the rename of those files in SharePoint just iterates through. This is actually standard client object model code. I get the current item, and then what I do is call setItem. You might know fileLeafRef is the internal name that SharePoint stores a file name. I'm putting my value from the text box in front of the current value and then calling update. So that's kind of a fairly typical of the kind of thing or the kind of ingredients that you might need to use when doing a ribbon customization. So we've got a dialog, we've got some client object model code that talks to SharePoint, we're updating something, we've got something that checks whether our buttons should be enabled in the first place. So basically many of the ingredients are somewhere in that code sample, and you can take a look at that. Okay, so that was commands. Now let's just think about some best practices for that stuff. So we said the command UI handler, it's good for small commands. You know, maybe if you just need to do something really simple, like a notification or a use of the status bar, then that's fine. Page component is really the approach that you probably need for more complex cases, and you get some benefits such as the performance and the ability to debug. So let's switch gears for a second and think about the sandbox. Is there anything differently that we would have to do with this stuff if we are targeting the sandbox or Office 365? And really, because of this model where we have the XML and JavaScript, turns out most customizations work great in the sandbox. We didn't really have a great deal of server-side code to worry about in the first place. So, yeah, things do work well in the sandbox. There are a couple of things that we might need to think about. You might know if you've done any development for the sandbox that if you put a file into SharePoint, like a JavaScript file or an image or a document, if you put one of those in the developed way with a module tag in a feature, actually it gets left in draft mode. So that can cause all sorts of problems if you didn't do anything with it. What you really need is some code, usually in a feature receiver, that will go ahead and publish that. So this is a difference in the SharePoint's internal behavior for putting a file in with a module in a sandbox solution versus a farm solution. I don't know why Microsoft decided that was the right thing to do, but all we have to do effectively is write some code to publish it. We also have an extra step that if we have a page component, we need a line of JavaScript that calls into the initialize method, and that's going to register our page component and kick everything off. So we need to find a way of getting that JavaScript in there. Remember that you may or may not be able to modify the master page. And if you can't, what you need to use is an XML element called custom action with an attribute of script on demand. And that will help you get your JavaScript in your page that will trigger the ribbon customization. Now, the one thing you can't do in the sandbox, or at least I can't find a way to do it, and my cohort Andrew couldn't find a way to do it either, is the contextual stuff. So the reason for this is SP Ribbon, that class that we briefly saw in our web part, it doesn't exist in the sandbox. And as a result, we can't call spribbon.makeTabAvailable. So as far as we can see, there's no way to do the contextual stuff in the sandbox, which, you know, is a pain. We even asked the product manager in the SharePoint product group, so the lady that owned the ribbon and ribbon development model, we even asked her if we were missing something and if there's some way of doing this. And she said, you know, I don't think there is. So that is something that, you know, you could run into, as certainly we can't find a way of doing it anyway. So what we've looked at so far is how to get a customization into the ribbon, how to put a tab or a group or a button in there. We've talked about the commands and how we get some code behind there. And that's JavaScript code, but I could use the client object model to call to the server, or if I needed to call in a different way, I could put some server-side code in there, like a WCF service or a HTTP handler, and my JavaScript could call it that way. But everything we've looked at so far has been a button. And you know, buttons are great, aren't they? You press them and they do something. But sometimes you might want more than that. So let's think about what we can do that isn't just a button. A question? Yep. So the question was, how easy would it be to disable a button? So I guess you're thinking about an out-of-the-box button, something like that? Yeah. Yeah. So it is possible to disable an out-of-the-box button in the ribbon. And really what you would probably do, I mean, there's actually two techniques you can use. Microsoft do provide you with an API method that will take a button out of the ribbon. So you can take one of their controls out of the ribbon. It's just I'm really saying that think long and hard before doing it, because if you do that in quite a few places, you're going to start confusing people potentially. If you want to disable one of their controls, then what you need to do is find their command name that's behind that control you're interested in. And what you can do is write a page component that also handles that command. And what you will do in the can handle command is return false, and that button will be disabled. So if you understand some of the things that we've talked about, yes, it's entirely possible. It's not as simple as just making a simple API call. But all you've got to do is find the command name and then return false in a can handle command for that. OK, so let's think about going beyond buttons and what else we can use. Remember, we can't just put any old control into the ribbon. So effectively, we have a toolbox that's kind of fixed, a toolbox of things we can pick from to put into the ribbon. So we have some other things, and you might recognize these. We have a split button, and this is a form of button. But it also has a drop-down menu hanging off it. And this is useful if you want to provide a default option that's easy for the user to hit. They can just hit the button. But there's also some options that they might use less frequently. So a good example is save versus save as. We have a toggle button, and this will be highlighted in yellow if it's on. And if it's not, then it will just be not highlighted. We have a spinner. So a spinner is where we can allow the user to input some number. We're going to do something with it. And they can go up, 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 or down, 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 down. They can actually type into it too. Now, we also have a different type of control. And these really come under a family of controls in the ribbon, which are called menu controls. And what comes under this family is things like a drop-down. A split button also comes under that family. We also have something called a flyout anchor, which is quite a cool control that we can use. And that one's like a drop-down on steroids, and I'll show you a couple of cases of using that in the final demo. Now, for all these menu-type controls, there are two ways that we can use them. So we can put controls into the menu, or we can use something called the gallery approach, where we can actually give SharePoint some HTML, and that HTML will appear in the menu. And that's really what I'm showing in the final demo. And that really gives us a lot of flexibility. So OK, we can't put our own control into the ribbon, but at least if we can supply some HTML, then we can basically get the look and feel that we might want. And obviously, we could use that to put images in there and so on. The other thing to think about is, have I got a fixed set of items that I want in my drop-down list or whatever it might be? Or do I need to build that up dynamically? You know, does that need to be built dynamically from the items in a SharePoint list somewhere else? And that's certainly possible. I do that in one of the samples. And really what we have to do is build up some XML in code and then pass that to SharePoint. And just to think about those two approaches, this sort of controls versus gallery, what you see is that it's kind of the same XML, and then it diverges at some point, and we either specify controls or gallery. Okay, so let's take a look at some ways of using some of these more advanced controls. So in this sample, I've got a couple of samples here. The first one is where we're using some of these other controls. So a split button, if you haven't seen one before, so I've got two split buttons over on the left. What we have here is I can just hit the button, and that was the default, so I'm just using alerts here to respond to the commands. But I also have some drop-down list, and that has some child options, and I can put code behind each one of those. And this one is the gallery. This one is the controls approach. Its neighbor here, this one is another split button, and it's using the gallery. So here I've managed to find some ye olde office icons from about 20 years ago. But you can see that what I've got here is something that's a bit more graphical. You know, it could be a little bit richer than just the items in text here. We've got a big drop down here. I've made it wide for dramatic effect, and I can put some options in it. I can do something different depending on which option is clicked. So again, I'm just doing an alert, but you can probably see that we have a 2 at the end of that message, so I know that that's which option was clicked, and I can put something special there. Toggle button, so that's now highlighted, and I've fired off something in the notification area. I can uncheck that. And then we have these spinners at the top. So we've got one in meters and one in dollars. And this one in meters goes up in increments of 1, and this one in dollars goes up in increments of 10. And if I was to enter what my monthly mortgage payment feels like right now, then you can find that actually it constrains me down, so I can specify a minimum and a maximum. So, you know, these controls do have some flexibility. There's some attributes that I can specify, and so on. So we'll just show very briefly this XML, and then we'll move on to something perhaps a bit more sexy. So what we have here is the split button, and that's where we define the submenu that hangs off it. Lower down we'll have, so there's one for the drop down, that's the element that we'd use there. And you can see that basically they all have some XML behind them. Some of them have slightly different attributes and different elements. Here we have a toggle button, and here we have a spinner. And the spinner has all sorts of exotic attributes on it, like acceleration interval and multiplier interval. And you can actually control the speed that, you know, you can change the value in there. And lots of strange things like that. Now, the final thing I really wanted to show was this flyout anchor control. And this is probably the sexiest control in the Ribbon toolbox, or as sexy as it gets, really. And I started thinking of maybe for this sample, I'd try and implement something that was a bit more real life. And the case that I started thinking of was almost like change tracking, but in a web page. And it's because I'd had a conversation with a client that day, and they were saying, you know, managing our homepage is actually a pain, because it's hugely important what goes on the homepage. There's us two guys here that can edit it, and there's also the guys in France. And we're constantly on Instant Messenger and the phone and things like this. And, you know, it would be better if SharePoint could help us with that workflow. And I didn't really give them this, but I did sort of use it as the basis for what I built. So we've just got a publishing site here. And if I go into edit mode, on the insert tab, I have a couple of buttons in the ribbon. So this section called flyout anchors, that's all custom. And what I thought is, how about this poor man's change tracking idea? And what I thought is, maybe if you could highlight something in a rich text editor in SharePoint, and then we would have some flyout anchor. And again, it's very wide for dramatic effect, but you could sort of constrain it. And I thought, what about if you could highlight something and then tag it in some way and pass that as a message to your fellow authors? So I thought, well, what I'll do is I'll build a flyout anchor and we'll break it up into subsections. So I can't do that with a simple drop-down list. So we've got a legal section and a marketing section. And then maybe somebody in the legal team, they could come along and tag this paragraph and say, I'm concerned that this paragraph could have copyright issues and I'm going to highlight it. You know, maybe somebody else could think about a different section of the content and maybe they're from marketing and they could tag that and say, I'm worried that this could have some reputational issue for us. And really what we get is a nice way of presenting that to the authors, because we've wrapped it up in a nice ribbon customization. It's a bit more graphical than a drop-down list, and you know, maybe that's poor man's change tracking. So that was one sample. And the other thing I started thinking about is all this sort of social media and widgets on pages and so on, and Facebook commenting as an example. So I've often seen it where a dev team has been asked to perhaps add Facebook commenting into the master page. And usually it would be done at that level, right? It would be either on the master page or on a page layout. And I thought, I wonder if you could do a ribbon customization that would do it on a page-by-page basis. So what I did here is I have this button here. And again, this is another flyout anchor. And again, it's sort of categorized into different sections. So I have some controls for Facebook, some for Twitter, and some for Delicious. And again, it's quite wide for dramatic effect, but you know, you can get the picture that you could make this as you wanted it to look. And I thought what we'd do is we would hit that. And it doesn't do a page refresh. It just tells me that it's inserted. But if I close this and come out, what should happen when the page finishes loading is that somewhere at the bottom here, if the JavaScript kicks in, I should get the Facebook commenting widget. And you know, because that's only JavaScript, when you ask Facebook, hey, I want to integrate with your tools and I want to put commenting on my pages, they just give you some JavaScript. And the ribbon works great with JavaScript. So really what we have is a situation where I've just built the ribbon customization. It knows what JavaScript is behind the Facebook commenting, the Twitter follow, and the Delicious bookmark, or whatever else I have. And then it will drop that JavaScript into the page, and hey presto, you know, we've got page level control over these things. Now, the way I did it is that it's all powered off a list. So what we have is a list item for each one of these social network things that we want to support. We have to tell it the image to use in that flyout anchor, in that menu that gets displayed from the ribbon. And then somewhere else, I have a very similar list like this one, which actually has the XML behind each of those snippets. But you know, that's the kind of thing that you can build with the ribbon. And I really like the flyout anchor because it's just a lot better than a drop-down, because you can style it, you can use images, you can break things into categories, and so on. So all that code sample is available for download, and if you want to see how some things like that are done, then that's all in there. Okay, so let's think about some of the things that you might hit if you ever need to do something like that. So this is really just a reference slide, but some of those more advanced controls like drop-downs and flyout anchors, there are some gotchas, and fundamentally, if you ever need to do some of that development and either your control isn't showing or your control is showing but it has no items in the list, you'll be committing one of these sins here, and it's just some gotchas with the XML, really. One thing to notice about these cases like these advanced controls is that typically they require a page component. You can't do it the simple way with the JavaScript in the XML, and that's because you need to work out which item was clicked, and it's only the page component model that allows you to do that. Now, the other thing I wanted to kind of have as reference information in this deck is, if you want to work with a new control, how do you go about that? What's the process? So a good friend of mine, a SharePoint MVP called Victor Veelan, has a really good blog series on how to work with a drop-down in the ribbon, how to work with a spinner. I don't think he does fly out anchor, but he has a couple of them. And what he's really not telling you that I wanted to is sort of the teach a man to fish thing and how he worked all that stuff out to write his blog series. And really, the answer is you have to go through this process, and this will help you understand the attributes for each of these controls. So, for example, a toggle button has a dot on property, and if you set that to true, then it will be lit up, and if not, it won't be. And a spinner has lots of other attributes and so on. So how do you find out these specific things about a control? So really, you have to go digging in the Microsoft stuff, you have to look in command.ui.xml, and what you really need to do is find their XML and find their JavaScript. And then in their JavaScript, in IE DevTools or Firebug, if you're a Firefox person, what you need to do is put a breakpoint in a certain point, and when you hit that breakpoint, there's an object called properties that gets passed into this method, and it will be vastly different depending on what control. And that's how you understand how each control works. So some code that you need to know. There's lots of code that you can possibly write with the ribbon, but I think these are some key things. So spribbon.make_tab_available, that was the thing that made our contextual tab work. Something that we haven't talked about so far is what if we need to do a customization on a list and we don't want to target it by type of list, like document library or task list or anything like that, and we don't want to target it by content ID. What if our client is asking us to build a customization for one list and one list only? Well, there is a way that we can do that without having to do something funny like create a special content type or create a special list template. What we can do is the SPList class has a new property as of SharePoint 2010 that most people sort of skip past, and it's called User Custom Actions. And what you can do is actually pass some XML to that, and that will apply your customization to that list only. So it's a slightly strange approach, because what you're actually doing is passing that XML on in server-side code. I guess you could read it in from a file rather than have it in a variable, but ultimately that's what you need to do. In JavaScript, we have a method called refreshCommandUI, which is quite important. That makes the ribbon evaluate all its checks again, and you need to call it if you've perhaps gone off to SharePoint server, got some value, and then you need to decide whether your ribbon button is enabled or not. And you need to call that, and it will run through its checks again. And then a final one on the client is something called execute or delay until script loaded. This is in the script on demand framework, which SharePoint uses to load JavaScript. And you can basically put your JavaScript dependent on some ribbon JavaScript if you know that you need to wait for that to be loaded. So some tips and tricks for ribbon development. The key thing is that the ribbon will aggressively cache JavaScript and CSS, and it always catches new developers out. So when you're in development, you will need to do an app pool recycle, which SharePoint developers are used to, but you will probably also need to either clear down your browser cache or press Control F5. You know, just an app pool recycle isn't enough. And the same applies to deployment of this stuff. So when you come to deploy your customization to production, consider that if you already have a JavaScript file out there, depending on where it lives and how you reference it, you could have a problem that end users do not see your changes to that JavaScript file. And they could have either the old functionality or, in the worst case, they could have a bug. And this will especially be the case if you put JavaScript in the underscore layouts folder, because IIS actually puts a header on it, which means the browser caches that for a long time. So if you put your JavaScript there and you reference it in a certain way, then every time you roll out an update, and this isn't ribbon specific, but every time you roll out an update, you should change something about it so the browser doesn't cache it. And the typical way we do that is to put a query string parameter on the end, like revision. This is how Microsoft manage it for their JavaScript files. And what you might do is put something like the date, and every time you make an update and deployment to production to that file, update that string on the end in the link. If you don't do that, and I've heard cases of this in real life, where really there's no way to get that functionality to work short of asking 30,000 people to press Control F5 to do a hard refresh in the browser. And that does not go down well in the enterprise. Find your favorite JavaScript debugging tool. Obviously, we are moving more towards the JavaScript model, so get comfortable with that. You know, whether it's IE DevTools or Firebug or something else. If you know the CKS Dev tool, so put your hands up if you're familiar with CKS Dev. Okay, so if you're a SharePoint dev, CKS Dev is a really good Visual Studio extension that makes a lot of things much, much easier. It's like the WSP builder of the SharePoint 2010 world, and it will do lots of things. It kind of puts lots of project templates in there, so if you need to do a new this or a new that, it's just a file new in Visual Studio, and it supplements what's out of the box. It also has something called Quick Deploy, so you can not bother with F5 or F6 to build your WSP and deploy it to your local VM. It can overwrite those files more quickly and you get faster feedback. Highly recommended. Anyway, it has a really good sample on the ribbon for the contextual thing. So whoever built that really knows what they're doing with the ribbon. Okay, some final things. So those are the links to our resources. It's in two places because Andrew and I provided the samples for different things, but you can download them from those links. I'll come back to these and leave those links up in case you need them. But hopefully that gives you a good insight into the ribbon. It's a 400 session, so obviously we've looked at quite a lot of code and XML. So we looked at the ribbon architecture and the fact that we've really got this tab group controls hierarchy, and then we've got the contextual groups. And customizing the ribbon is basically a matter of building that XML. Commands, we talked about the two approaches, and page component is more complex, but is maybe the more mature approach. And once you've done it once, it's not too difficult. Sandbox is quite okay. We've just got that thing where we can't do a contextual customization in the sandbox. So that's the gotcha to look out for there. And then we talked about those advanced controls and tips and tricks and so on. In terms of any related content, there was a session today around branding and customizing my sites. I'm doing a session tomorrow morning at 8:30, which is something completely different, but does actually have some ribbon in it. In this session, I'm talking about automated builds for SharePoint, and I show using TFS to have a system where the devs check in, and it will automatically build your WSP packages, deploy them to a SharePoint server, and then start hitting that server with UI tests. You know, we'll test if a web part is on the page, and I actually test the ribbon customization, actually. So Visual Studio coded UI tests start looking for the ribbon customization. They press the button like a user would, and they check the user interface responds in a certain way. So I guess that's related as well. So that's it from me. Hope you found that useful if you're a SharePoint dev, and if you've got any questions, I'd be happy to answer them. And please fill out evals, by the way. Thank you.